This is Expanded States. Join us for a deep exploration in expanding awareness, opening the heart, and journeying beyond boundaries. Listen in for illuminating conversation and mind-expanding topics like psychedelics, mindfulness, breathwork, nature immersion, sound healing, and so much more. Welcome back to the Expanded States podcast. My name is Michelle Gale. I'm your host, and I am excited to be here with Lori Schwanbach, who is a psychotherapist and meditation teacher. And we are going to be talking today about the connection between nature and expanded states. Welcome, Lori. I'd love for you to introduce yourself to our guests.
Hello, Michelle. It is like an absolute delight to be here with you. I already feel expanded just having this connection. And that's one of the things I love about our friendship. So I, as Michelle is saying, I am a psychotherapist and I've been doing psychedelic integration work for a couple of decades, and really have found the magic that comes from both expanded state work, the integration, and also immersion in nature. And we'll talk more about that. But my background around this is really my own journey into recognizing how nature, and particularly contemplative immersion in nature, has been profoundly healing, enlivening, resourcing, and really becomes what has mattered most to me in this life, is just this connection to this greater sense of life around me. And so I teach mindfulness in nature in retreats, use it with my clients, and you know, I'll share a little bit more about my own personal journey in that, but it's just become such an integral part of all of the work I do. With expanded states, you know, with medicine work, I see nature and expanded states in nature as a part of the offerings that are available, the doorways, if you will, to knowing ourselves more deeply.
And that, thank you, Lori. It's beautiful. I would love to hear, you know, as far back as you can remember, where that spark was. Like, where did that spark of like, oh, this is part of my path, part of my journey, that connection to nature? And I'm sure it was long before you'd ever taken a psychedelic.
Yeah. Well, I remember, I love this question. Activate the memory and bring me back there. So when I was probably about 5 years old, I was at my grandparents' farm in Saskatchewan, Canada, where I grew up. And it was this snowy winter day. The sunlight was making the snow sparkle like diamonds. And I put my winter boots on and bundled up like, you know, that little like Michelin snowman. And wandered out into this vast expanse of sparkling white, and the sky was blue. And I knew my grandmother was watching me through the window as I kind of trekked off through the snow. And I laid down in the snow, and I had this experience of being very aware of my peripheral vision, and the trees that were quite far away in reality all of a sudden came very close. And then they went further away and they kind of matched my breath. And I felt myself just dissolving into this vast expanse of sparkling white and blue and trees. And I also felt the presence of my grandmother's eye and love on me. So I wasn't alone in it. And it was just this sense of dissolving into beauty, into the elements, where I became just part of the landscape. And I have so many more stories like that I could share with you. But this feeling and knowing of being connected to everything just viscerally impacted me. And I carry it with me to this day. I can feel it as I speak.
I can feel it as you speak. Thank you. And then where was that moment where you were moving more into your purpose, your career, your schooling, where... What can you give us a few breadcrumbs? Like, just to help us get to closer to where you are today?
So yeah, from the five-year-old non-dual expansion state into nature, you know, I had a very somewhat conventional upbringing, actually quite conventional upbringing, and pursued a business career because I was smart in math and this is what you do. And I had, like, I was climbing the ladder of a conditioned self idea of success, you know, moving towards like the material external markers of a life well lived. And I was really quite empty, frankly. It was just, I was like, gosh, this is not something that I can imagine feeling satisfied with, even though I was getting a lot of accolades from the outside world. And I began to really be aware that it was actually on my runs in nature. I was living in Calgary at this time, in the, you know, right outside the Rocky Mountains in Banff National Park. And I'd spend a lot of time in the mountains and really feel the aliveness that came when I was in these, like running by these crystal clear rivers and these beautiful, gorgeous, towering peaks and the smell of the pine. And I thought, this is what I want my life to be like. I want to feel this alive. And so at that time, actually, in my early mid-20s, I was having a lot of spontaneously occurring expanded state experiences. I never tried any substances, actually, at that point. But I began to really get curious because these expanded state experiences activated this knowing that there was so much more to this life than the rational mind and than this conditioned life and self that I had constructed. So that led me to quit my job and I moved to California. There's some steps in between there, but
yes,
to study what's called transpersonal psychology, because I was so curious, like, what is it in this experience of life that creates, like, why are we here? Like, these big questions haunted me from an early age, and I found no answers in consumerism or the kind of, again, this conditioned life. So transpersonal psychology is a study of, like, transpersonal, beyond the person, like looking at this question of what's the meaning and purpose of this existence, and drew upon cross-cultural explorations, expanded state experiences to really explore this question and curiosity I had of, like, what is life? What is death? What is our mind? What is possible? So that's really revolutionary for me to come to California to study transpersonal psychology and really delve into, like, expanded state work through dreams, through, again, more nature immersion. And that's when I actually tried my first psychedelic, was on the beaches of California in my late 20s.
That's wonderful. I have a question. I want to back up just a little bit for the listeners. You know, you mentioned, you know, you're having these spontaneous moments of expanded states. And how would, from your, you know, what are some guideposts that you might be able to help others point to know, oh, that's happened to me. You know, how can they know that they've had this kind of spontaneous expanded state? What are the things that people should look for from your perspective?
Question, Michelle. So I'm going back into those moments. It's this sense that for me, like, the sense of self softens and you kind of feel more connected in a very visceral way. It's not cognitive. Like, there's this feeling that I am, as I look out the window, we're speaking right now, I see this tree, that there's like a relationship between me and the tree. And it's not just, I mean, I know that I breathe with the tree and that's very cool, but there's just this sense of kinship. For me, there was a sense of, I would have dreams and then they would come, like, what would happen in the dream the next day would unfold in my life. And I was like, what's happening? this heightened sensory awareness. So colors became more vivid. I began to really feel in my heart a sense of empathy with people and life around me. Now, as I say this, you know, as a psychotherapist, I'm also aware that, you know, some of the markers of psychosis or mania can be heightened sensory states too. So, you know, there's definitely a continuum here. But some of those markers for me was that I began to have a knowing that was different than my rational and cognitive mind. Physically, emotionally, in my dream life. And that just got very curious.
Beautiful. You know, I know you do a lot of work in nature with meditation and mindfulness and bringing people into those places and states. And generally, I think that does not include medicine. You know, I know you've done a lot of work where people are just going out into nature. You know, I'm imagining having these experiences of expanded states. What have you learned from being with others in these spaces and places, as what they experience, what they report? You know, lots of people have had time in nature, you know, either just in their backyard forest, or going out. Like, I know you go into Baja and silence and kayaks and, you know, way out into the forest and in nature. You know, what are some of the things that you bring back to share, either from your own experiences or from experiences of others?
When I first did MDMA, which was the first expanded state experiences I had, the thought came to me like, wow, this is not different than what I experience in nature. It's just that it's deeper and longer lasting. Mm. And so what I have learned is that when I take people out in nature, I point them to the expanded state experience that they could get, say, through MDMA, of really feeling their senses, really noticing the sensation of the water on their skin or the breeze on their face or the coolness of the water, and have them linger there a little bit. Because what often happens is most of us in our day, we don't track the experiences we're having. So we're rushing and rushing. So my first psychedelic experience taught me like, oh, it's actually here. It's just that there's a quality of attention that amplifies and deepens. And you can bring that quality of attention anywhere. So the retreats that I do when I take people into nature, and no, they're, most of them are not involving any medicines except nature. I really have people attune to the opening up and expanding awareness into what is coming through their senses. And as they do that, what happens in their heart? Because the heart is also a sense organ. When you think about senses, the senses take in what is outside and we feel it on the inside. That's what our heart does. We notice, you know, the tears of someone and we feel the empathic sadness. We see someone laughing and we feel our own joy. So the senses, we, you know, the breeze moves the leaves and we hear it in our ears. So often when I do this, actually, I've done this with corporations. I take people like listening to leaves outside, for example, in the mindfulness, and people will say, wow, I haven't felt like that since I did like ecstasy when I was a teenager. I'm like, okay, good. We're good now. So it's really about a quality of attention and doing something radical, which is slowing down and feeling the world around you and feeling how that impacts the world within you. Then, of course, if you've had like a medicine journey, you have that imprint, so it takes you back there.
Yeah, I'm really feeling connected to this. It's almost like this loop of knowing and understanding between medicines and nature, and how each one can inform the other. Is that what I'm hearing? Yeah.
Well, absolutely. And I think, you know, when I have actually sat with people who are doing medicine work, I like to create, like, architect an arc where initially I do, like, for me, medicine work and nature is so much about dropping out of the thinking mind into the sensing and feeling, deep time, archetypal, imaginal, symbolic realm, which is so rich. So I like to offer people initially an opportunity before we do the medicine work to drop into the senses and the elements and actually begin to attune them. You know, we know about set and setting. So let's attune ourselves. Let's open up this capacity we have to feel with the heart, with our bodies, with our senses, then to do the medicine work. And sometimes people like to be outside and some people need a little bit more holding or cocooning, but then they're primed with this awakening of capacities. Then they have whatever journey comes with the medicine, but then the integration part, I found so useful to bring nature in again. And I'll share a story of my own work with ketamine just to illustrate this, if I may. Yeah. So I was exploring with a guide. I have a deep existential feeling of aloneness in the universe at times. And sometimes that can be fine and sometimes it can be overwhelming. And I was curious about exploring that. So before I did the ketamine, I was listening to the sound of birds, which are always for me like a meditation bell dropping me in. Then in the journey, I had this image of little droplets that were kind of spraying from a waterfall. And I had this awareness in the journey, like, oh, each individual droplet is, of course, its own unique, separate thing, but then it falls back into the waterfall, into this collective.
Yeah.
And that image was very interesting to me. And that could have just kind of come and went. But then after, as part of my integration, I went on a bike ride close to where I live and I came across a little waterfall and it was really windy actually. And I saw this spray come up and I was like, oh, here it is again. So there's this way that nature both primed me for my psychedelic experience, my psychedelic journey, then I took that image and I found it in a larger context. So it wasn't just my image, it was life speaking to me through my journey, through what I pay attention to in the larger world around me. So that's just one experience, but I just see this kind of reciprocity of expanded state work through nature, through medicine, and how they both inform each other.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And I wonder, that makes me think, I always like to bring things back to practicality, right? Because people who are listening love to hear kind of the big story and love to hear like, what do I do? So I wonder how you coach people as an integration coach to utilize nature, before their experience, as preparing for their journey, and then after their journey. Like, what are some of the things that people can do, certainly who have access to, some people are lucky enough to live in really wide open natural spaces, and some people live in a city. And I know you've done work in both of those arenas where nature is concerned. So I think you probably have a lot to share that maybe others won't think about.
Well, so the preparation phase, as I mentioned, I think just, again, priming to orient to beauty and a question of like, what is one's intention in going into a journey? And it might be to work on a heartbreak or to cultivate a deeper understanding of one's purpose or to feel connection. And I'll just maybe say, like, as a way of preparing, can you find anything in the larger world of life around you that is also going through that? Like maybe a sense of loss or like, so like sit for a little bit with leaves in the fall. And you might not be in a big expanded place, but you might just be like with your little house plant and looking at like how this leaf is now like, you know, not doing as well as leaves. It might be that you look out your window and you see the movement of clouds. So I like people to find allies in the natural world before they go in for their medicine work. And also, as I said, that activation of their sensory capacity to just feel. Then very practically, as part of integration, you know, of course, I love doing like journaling is really important. Using the music that people have in their journey as a way of activating the memories and wisdom. But then I'll also say, like, now let's go back into finding something in the natural world that reflects the wisdom that was offered to you in your journey. So for me, it was this waterfall. And I will say, when I said I went to a waterfall, it was like a little culvert of water. It was not like a big magnificent Rocky Mountain waterfall. It was like a little teeny tiny culvert where the water was spraying off. Watch the wind in the leaves outside of your window. Look at your garden. Like, look at life around you, because we are fractals. And what we're experiencing isn't just our story. It's part of the larger story of life. Look outside, find that, feel yourself being held in that. So conversations, journaling, art is a wonderful thing, like doing collages with maybe images that people see, finding an object like a stone. Oh, can't see this, but I'm holding a stone that reflects a quality. And maybe even building a little altar in your home with found objects in nature.
Yeah. And as I'm listening to you, I'm really connecting with the word awe. And I know that's a word that's meaningful to you. Just as I say that, like, how does that bring you into this conversation that we're having?
Yeah. I mean, I think for any of us who have actually had any kind of psychedelic experience, awe is very much part of it. Like, wow, now I'm cleansing the doors of perception. And awe is such a potent emotion. We connect to something greater than ourselves. We're in awe of, like, how is anything here at all? Like, there's this quality of humility, curiosity. We feel connected, like it's a self-expanding state, so that we're less hooked by those things that might create distress for us, like my story, my problem. We feel ourselves in a life, in a universe that's filled with mystery and magic. And it's just this state that, of course, we can get into with psychedelics, you know, difficult journeys, beautiful journeys. There's also through nature, like if we really study like a blade of grass, like how is this here at all? And so this quality of humility and curiosity activates the part of the brain that's associated with approach versus avoid. And so it encourages us to lean into our lives. Very healthy for psychological, emotional, and mental well-being. And it counters, you know, our tendency to be kind of judgmental and negative and pessimistic and shut down, the negativity bias. Awe is expansive. So both nature and psychedelics are doorways into this beautiful state of awe.
Thank you. I wonder if we can talk a little bit about, you know, I think there's a lot going on in the world. You know, we see a lot on the news and we're struggling, and it can be, you know, easy to turn away, like you said, kind of not lean in. And I wonder how nature and medicine kind of, from your perspective, play into this time. You know, and I think we could say that for any time, right? In history, there's always something going on. But I know a lot of people are just really struggling with, you know, with what's happening in the world. And I wonder what role you feel like nature and medicine play in this?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, as we all know, it's a we're in a very interesting and very interesting time where a lot of the constructs of what we hold to be true are breaking down with, you know, artificial intelligence and political instability, and like there's just so much. And we're also in a time of climate catastrophe and the loss of life. And so for me, integrating nature with psychedelics is crucial as not just a path of personal development and transformation, although as we've talked about, it can be like I see my own struggle mirrored and reflected in this larger life around me. But that when I'm in an expanded state through medicine work and I feel I have that visceral experience of interconnectedness, I'm much more likely going to take action to support that. And we need that on our planet right now. We need us to not be doing medicine just so that we get the big high and the ego development or grandiosity. It's a term that I love called narcissism, like, you know, to get like narcissistically inflated, like, I am God. I mean, people might have that experience, but if it's not paired with a knowing that you are God, we are all part of this sacred, fleeting life, then I think we're potentially doomed on this planet in a way. And we're missing a beautiful opportunity for these medicines to help us feel the truth of our interbeingness, as Thich Nhat Hanh says. And, you know, there's that phrase from Timothy Leary from the 60s, turn on, tune in, drop out. And I've shifted it to like, instead of like, we turn in, right? We turn in and observe and feel the way the world lives in us. Tune out the judgment and the ways of thinking ourselves as separate. And we then drop into this feeling of interconnectedness. We need this on our planet right now. We need to feel that that impulse to care, because whether it's social media or politics or culture, we're being driven to our most basic primal drives of separation and self-interest are being totally activated. And what I see psychedelics doing is breaking down barriers, and we feel like we're part of the family, not just a human family, but family of life. In fact, there was a recent article in Bloomberg magazine called "A Psychedelic Boom is Minting Environmentalists," where they're really looking at this phenomena that when we take psychedelics in nature, this feeling, and it's not just thinking, it's not just the data, it's this felt sense of knowing we're interconnected, we're then inspired to act. And we need this.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I think that's a beautiful place to end. Wow. Laura, I'd love for you to share how people can get in touch with you if they want to work with you. What are those places? Of course, we'll add it into the notes at the bottom, but how can people connect with you?
Well, I mean, to be quite frank, you can find me on my website, which is laurieschwanbeck.com. And you'll see that I'm kind of in transition from letting go of sort of doing this expanded state work in stealth and being happy that like people are connecting with leaves when I'm talking to them about their corporate work, which I do and I love, but yes. I'm actually shifting more into doing more explicit expanded state. So that website will be shifting
and evolving.
Yes.
Yes. And you and I are going to be doing some work with women and ceremony, and I'm really looking forward to that.
And I feel really passionately about activating women's power and responsibility to feel purposeful in this life. And I think nature and expanded states through medicine work is a beautiful portal for feeling this aliveness.
Thank you, Lori. That was fun.
And you are
amazing. And I'm so grateful you took the time.
I'm delighted. Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Expanded States. If you enjoyed listening to our podcast, please follow us and be sure to share our show with your family and friends.